This is Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. As Michigan made history by becoming the 24th right-to-work state, there was a group that did not find itself covered by the new law: police officers and firefighters. Just why did state lawmakers choose to exempt police and fire from right-to-work? Rick Hagland of Bridge Magazine looked into that question, and he joins us now. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Cynthia.
So what did you find out? Just why are police and fire exempt from right-to-work in Michigan?
Well, there are a number of reasons. The basic reason given was that police and firefighters have kind of a special recognition under state law called Public Act 312, which basically prevents firefighters and police officers from striking.
And goes back a ways, doesn't it?
It does. It goes back to actually 1969, and the person who actually introduced the legislation was Coleman Young, who at that time was a state senator.
And wow.
The reason that he did that was that the city, you know, back then many cities were experiencing police and firefighter strikes. You may remember they used to call it the blue flu.
I do.
And so there were lots of strikes and, kind of disrupted operations. So the Public Act 312 basically said, okay, you can't strike anymore, but you get, in exchange for that, we will give you binding arbitration. And Coleman Young thought that this would be a good thing. He thought arbitrators would kind of limit the contract awards, but exactly the opposite has happened since then. So arbitrators in Detroit actually gave, some pretty generous awards, which put the city in some kind of dire financial straits at the time.
So why did that exempt them?
Well, what happened was in order for police and firefighters to become part of the right-to-work law, lawmakers would have had to amend Public Act 312. They chose not to do that for a variety of reasons. Some claim it was practical, some claim it was political, and there's a bit of controversy about it.
And dig into that controversy for us, then. Who's upset by this? Who's saying it's political?
Well, people who are opposed to right to work are basically saying, hey, why did the police and firefighters unions get exempt from this? Why aren't they covered by right to work? The some are saying that this was sort of a reward by the Republicans for the police and firefighter unions who basically sat out the debate over Proposal 2, which would have put collective bargaining rights in the Constitution. And so they're saying, well, the Republicans gave them a little reward for that, for not working to put Proposal 2 in the Constitution.
And Rick, did you find any evidence that pointed to that?
We didn't find any particular campaign contributions one way or the other in Proposal 2. One of the things I think we did find was that they basically did just kind of sit it out. They didn't get involved one way or the other on that.
How unique are these carve-outs for police and firefighters among the 24 right-to-work states?
Well, it turns out that Michigan is really the only state that does this, according to the National Right to Work Legal Defense Fund. That there are no other states, no other right-to-work states that do a carve-out for police and fire. Now, they may also not have the same law as Michigan in Public Act 312.
Now, you talked with Bill Ballinger for your story, who is, of course, a former lawmaker, and he publishes Inside Michigan Politics. In fact, he's been a guest here on Stateside. He made an interesting observation to you that I'd like you to get into a little bit. He said both Michigan Democrats and Michigan Republicans, quote, covet the support of the police and firefighter unions. It got me wondering, do you think that means the support of, let's say, the UAW is less important to them?
Well, I think not necessarily less important. I mean, the UAW, for instance, is a major financial backer. But, in our society, we hold military personnel and first responders in very high esteem. And if you can run a TV ad showing a local police or firefighter endorsing your campaign, particularly if the whole union is endorsing your campaign, that tends to mean a lot in the local races.
I wondered if it maybe said more about police or firefighters, or more about perhaps declining power of the UAW. We certainly feel that the UAW, observers feel that the UAW's power was diminished after Right to Work passed.
That's true. I mean, the membership of the UAW is, you know, probably less than half of what it was at its peak in
right.
the late 1970s. It still has a lot of, you know, financial clout. I mean, it can dump a lot of money into campaigns. You know, Proposal 2 probably questioned how effective that is, although, you know, there's another argument out there that says that the defeat of Proposal 2 kind of says less about unions than it does about the fact that, you know, you had six proposals on the ballot that voters, you know, to some degree maybe didn't understand or just were suspicious of. And when there's a lot of proposals on the ballot, people tend to vote them all down.
Kind of just a tidal wave of hands off the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing from other public sector unions, let's say teachers?
Well, they've been fairly, you know, they've been kind of silent about this. I haven't really heard much from some of the other unions. You know, it's interesting, the police and fire unions are saying that, you know, even though we're exempted from Right to Work, they're not crowing about the fact that they've got something that nobody else has got, from what I can see.
They're saying, really, you should look at other public sector unions as well and extend the same exemption to them.
Yes, and they'd prefer that there was no right yeah. to work law at all. You know, there's also been one of the other unions that did not get an exemption were the corrections officers unions, and they claim, hey, we do dangerous work just like the police and firefighters do, and we should have some special treatment.
And corrections officers, are they covered under Public Act 312?
They are not. Hmm. It's just police and firefighter unions. There's also another one that applies to state police troopers and sergeants. They actually have collective bargaining rights constitutionally protected. This goes back to 1978, where they, I believe they got a proposal on the ballot, and it passed, but they do have constitutionally protected collective bargaining rights.
Rick Hagland from Bridge Magazine, looking into the exemption from Right to Work for police officers and firefighters. Thanks for talking with us, Rick.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.